However, my second part of the present conference is on how we are to put this mystery into practice. The mystery of the Incarnation is not only to be believed with the mind, it is to be lived out with our wills. And consequently, we now address ourselves to Mary, model of our faith. Christ be the living God, and all the virtues that we are to practice, but even as man, Christ did not have, because he did not need, the virtues of faith and hope. In his human nature, he always saw the face of God. With his human will, he did not have to trust, hope he would reach heaven. Heaven is that indissoluble union of a creature with God. From the moment of his incarnation in Mary's womb, Jesus, hear it, was in heaven by seeing the face of God. And among the mysteries, one of the deepest mysteries of our faith is how Christ, in his human nature, seeing the face of God, could nevertheless suffer. If there is one thing that I hope will be more clear as we go on through our conferences, there is no disjunction, no incompatibility between happiness and suffering. Mary, model of our faith. As we look at the modern world, saturated by the culture of death, we ask ourselves, is there any hope of restoring secularized countries like our own to some semblance of Christian sanity? Mother Teresa asked President Clinton, quote, "How can you punish any crime in the United States if you approve and promote abortion?" Unquote, Mother Teresa's question. Needless to say, he gave no answer. Once a nation legalizes the murder of unborn innocent children, it has no rational grounds for penalizing any moral evil. That is why I do not hesitate to say that the Holy Eucharist is the center of the pro-life movement. It will take nothing less than a cosmic miracle of God's grace to convert one once civilized country after another back to obedience to divine laws. The same Jesus who performed miracles in first century Palestine, hear it, must perform miracles of conversion in the hearts of millions of perverted souls in our day. No merely human strategy can change the pro-death mentality that has penetrated whole nations in the 20th century. Only the grace of God, shall I say, the mountainous grace of God, through Jesus Christ, can provide the light and strength needed to restore whole civilizations back to the friendship of God. Our present reflection is on the Blessed Virgin Mary as the Mother of Jesus Christ. And therefore, what a crucial conclusion, therefore, the Mother of the Holy Eucharist. May I beg you, never, never separate the Holy Eucharist from the Incarnation. I cannot emphasize too strongly how the Holy Eucharist is the living Christ with the fullness of the human nature which he received from his mother. As St. Augustine says, whom I never tire quoting, Caro Jesu, caro Maria, the flesh of Jesus is the flesh of Mary. Except for her, he could not have said of the Last Supper, this is my body, this is my blood. With this as our background, we now remind ourselves that the massive pro-death culture in the world today is demonic. That is why, for the first time in my priestly life, I am lecturing and writing more extensively than ever before on the evil power of Satan in the modern world. Do we say that the massive pro-death culture in the world today is demonic? We better. It was, as our faith tells us, because of the devil that death first came into the world. When he seduced Eve, who then seduced Adam, the consequences included the loss of bodily immortality, which the human race was to have enjoyed, except for original sin. When we say that the devil is a murderer, we mean that he wants to destroy human bodies by bodily death on earth. But hear it, he wants to destroy human souls by spiritual death in hell. Any other estimate of abortion or euthanasia is shallow. In fact, it is meaningless. That is why I am stressing the interrelationship between the deepest and most fundamental mystery of our faith, which is the Incarnation, and coping with the most demonic evil in the history of the human race. Mass murder, legalized by one once civilized nation after another. The real force behind the culture of death is the evil spirit. If we hope to face this force and reverse this demonic movement, we must use superhuman means. These superhuman means on our part are faith after the example of Mary and prayer by asking Mary to obtain from Jesus the miraculous power of conquering Satan, who is behind the global homicide so prevalent in our day. First then, faith after the example of Mary. We speak correctly of growing in sanctity by imitating Jesus Christ. But we must also imitate Our Lady, and imitate Mary in the one virtue that underlies all the other virtues of our human life, namely Mary's faith. There is no human person. Christ was not a human person. There is no human person in the annals of history whose faith was deeper or more precious in the eyes of God than that of his mother, Mary. As we read the Gospels, we see something of what this means. At the Annunciation, Mary believed that she was being invited to become the Mother of God. She knew her prophets. She read Isaiah. She knew what Isaiah foretold: a virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When the angel explained to her how she would conceive the Redeemer without losing her virginity, she made an act of faith. She believed what the angel told her, that there was nothing impossible with God. 50 years, I'm counting them, plus 90 days in the priesthood. If there is one thing we need to believe, there is nothing impossible with God. The only question we should ever ask is, does God want it? What God wants is always possible with Him. When she conceived her son, she believed that she was carrying her Creator in her womb. No mother's faith before or since has ever been greater. In fact, no woman's faith can be Mary's equal. When we say in the Hail Mary, "Blessed art thou among women," we are affirming the fact that Mary was so blessed, my God, because she believed so deeply in the God whom she carried for 9 months before his birth. This, we may say, is what the women of the world today most need: to be blessed by the Lord. Something of the faith of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the mother of her and our Creator. At the Visitation, she believed what Elizabeth told her when she addressed Mary as the mother of my Lord. She believed what Elizabeth said when the unborn John the Baptist stirred with joy in his mother's womb. Why did he stir for joy? Because, hear it, Mary began to exercise her mediation of grace from Jesus, whom she was carrying in her body. Mary's words in Elizabeth's ears, as the Church believes, sanctified John and enabled him to be born without sin. How we need some small share of Mary's deep faith, so that we too hear it, in our measure, may be, I like the verb, conduct, be conduits of grace from us, better, from Christ to us, to others. And the deeper our faith, the more we will imitate Our Lady as mediators of her Son's grace. Mary believed every word that she sang in the Magnificat, that all generations would call her blessed, that God's mercy is in all who fear Him, that God casts down the mighty from their thrones and lifts up the lowly. at Bethlehem, Mary believed that what the shepherds told her about the angels announcing the birth of the Savior was literally and explicitly true. She believed that God does give His peace to those who do His will. And let me just insert, no translation of the Gospels is correct unless you read, "and peace on earth to men of goodwill." And we have a goodwill only on the measure that our wills are united with the will of God. At the presentation, Mary believed that her son would be contradicted, opposed, and finally crucified. She believed that her own soul would be pierced by a sword. She expected suffering. She knew that to accept Jesus Christ and love Him means to embrace the cross. My dear friends in Christ, I beg you in His name to never, never run away from the cross. At Cana, Mary believed that Jesus would work the miracle of changing water into wine. That is why, after apparently being rebuffed by Him, she told the servants, "Do whatever He tells you." During Christ's public life, Mary believed that some, but not all, would believe in her son's divinity. That some, but not all, would obey His teaching and would follow His example. And the deepest suffering of Jesus Christ, shared by His mother, was that so many in Christ's visible stay on earth, so many rejected Jesus. And as Christ foresaw, and His mother was taught by Him, in the ages to come, so many would reject their Redeemer. Mary's final and closing profession of faith on Calvary. She believed that the dying man on the cross was God. She believed that Jesus would rise from the dead, and her faith never wavered. That is why over the centuries, Saturday remains Mary's Day, or as it is also called, Faith Day. Now we turn to ourselves. Our faith modeled on the faith of Mary. Notice I've been concentrating on the most devastating crime in human history. The murder of tens of millions of innocent unborn children. There is nothing which the pro-life apostles need more than a share in the faith that Mary had when she saw the author of life murdered by His own creatures. What does it mean to model our faith on that of Our Lady? Hear it. We must believe without comprehending. Well, comprehension means total understanding. We must believe against all human odds. We must believe that God has an all-wise purpose in permitting the flood of anti-life crimes in the world today. We must trust they will bring good, indeed great good, greater than would have come about if there had not been such massive crime in the most criminal century of human history. We believe where crime is so abundant, there God's loving mercy will be even more abundant. But we must believe. How autobiographical I could become at this point. We've got to pay deeply for our trusting faith. We must cooperate with the grace that Christ is giving us, even as Mary did. The heart of this cooperation is knowing what Christ wants and then doing it. That was Mary's message to the servants at Cana. They did what Christ told them to. And as the poet tells us, the water looked at its maker and blushed. Like Our Lady, we must expect to suffer. I mean that from the depth of my soul. Expect to suffer. But hear it. Like Our Lady, we should expect miracles. And the highest miracle is not moving mountains. It is moving human wills from self-idolatry to submission to the will of God. This is the moral miracle that we should expect if we hope to convert a society in which innocent people are murdered, and the murderers are now becoming leaders in the modern world. Prayer through Mary to her Divine Son. How we need to tell our Protestant confreres. Absolutely speaking, we do not pray to Mary. We pray through Mary to Jesus. In other words, we believe that we are to pray to Jesus indeed, but ask, hear the words, we are to invoke Mary so she will intercede with her Divine Son. And the power of a person's prayer of intercession is in direct proportion to that person's sanctity. That is why Mary, as the mother of Jesus who is God, she has power to intercede with him that no one else has. Not to pray through Mary to Jesus is sheer folly. If the people at Cana would have, well, been out of wine for the rest of the wedding, if Mary interceded for the guests at Cana, talk about a woman's concern. We should therefore invoke Our Lady constantly, because Mary, as the mother of Jesus, is the mother of God. And hear it. Whatever she asks of her Divine Son, he will grant her. But, again, that important adversity, but we must ask. We must keep asking. We must keep asking confidently, trusting that our prayers will be heard. That is why the Memorare is such an important prayer in the Catholic Church. And I urge all of you to say the Memorare at least once a day for the rest of your lives. We tell Our Lady that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left alienated. That is why we continue. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother, to thee do we come. Before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer us. Amen. Mary's power of intercession with the Divine Son is beyond human calculation. It is no wonder, then, that most of the world-famous shrines are dedicated to Our Lady. Centuries of Christian experience have taught the people that Mary is a wonder worker used by her Divine Son to do what only God can perform. Only God can change a culture that destroys human life into a culture that respects even the life of an unborn child. But Mary must be invoked by us, so that she in turn may intercede with her Divine Son to change hearts of stone into hearts of selfless love. Mary, Mother of God, Mother of the Holy Eucharist, obtain for us something of your own deep faith in the divinity of Jesus, so that, believing in Him and trusting in His almighty love, we may obtain through your intercession what we so desperately need in our day. Mary, that we may love Jesus with our whole hearts and be happy to shed our blood out of love for Him, because you are His mother and you can obtain from Him whatever you ask. We beg you, ask Him to give us the strength you had as the Mother of the Almighty. Mary, Mother of Jesus, we love you. We trust you. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.